but let's the rest of our service. God, thank you so much for today, Lord. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for getting us here. God, thank you for all those who are watching on Facebook, who will watch on Facebook. God, thank you for your word that heals, that revives, that gives light to the eyes and hope to our souls, Father God. Thank you so much that we get to come worship you together, to honor you, to sing to you, to pray to you, Father, and to enjoy great fellowship, God. We pray for Takaya and Wande as they embark on this new journey, that you will bless them, God. Thank you for the example they have set, God. And I pray that many, many other single people can get to know each other and find love and get married and do it your way in this church, God. I pray, God, as we close out our Heaven series this week and next week, Father, that it had just been beneficial, and that we can continue to grow in our conviction, God, and having a hope about heaven, Lord God, and the reality of heaven, how it should affect us each and every day. Open our eyes, our hearts, and our minds, God. Move us and shake us today. Get us out of our comfort zones. Move our hearts, Lord, so we can get to know you better, become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So a few weeks ago, I shared about my adventures, my traveling adventures, right? I shared about using Hotwire.com and Airbnb and about the research that goes into picking the place you're going to stay, right? And we talked about how much more research should go into researching the place where we're going to be for eternity, right? And so I told you that I love Hotwire.com because you can get 4-star hotels for about $100 or less. You can't beat that. You can't beat that. But then I thought about it. I said, you can beat it. You can beat that. You know what I like more than a 4-star hotel for less than $100? A 5-star accommodation for free. Now, I know I piqued your interest. Adriel, you told me about Hotwire. How can I get some? Well, the accommodations are our parents' house. Now, you may be able to stay because our parents are very hospitable. Keegan knows. He has stayed at the birdhouse. That's my parents' last name, Bird, so it's a birdhouse. But Christina's parents, my parents, they are such hospitable people. It really is amazing. Both of our parents, they go to great lengths to make sure that our stay is not only pleasant, but it's personal, right? So it's pleasant because when we get there, man, their homes are immaculate. I'm talking about it's clean. They're waiting for us to get there. They show us around the house. You know, my wife can be allergic to dogs, and my mom, they have 2 dogs, right? So my mom will not only clean the whole house and make sure there's no dog hairs, she will take the puppies to get groomed, get haircuts, to make sure that they don't shed, to make sure that Christina has a pleasant experience, right? Our sleeping arrangements are 5-star, let me tell you. We either get silk or satin sheets, or we get them sheets that are like 600, 700, 800 thread count. I don't know if you ever had them type of sheets, but it's amazing. I didn't know what that was. I thought you just went to Walmart, you got some sheets, you brought them home, you used them till they got holes in it. Man, I'm talking about the higher the thread count, it's so comfortable. Oh, man. So we get to my in-laws' house, and they bring out, Mr. Walker goes out to the shed, and he brings out this luggage, and he rolls out, right? And he rolls into the den where we stay, and it's an air mattress. Now, this is not just your regular air mattress. You got to understand. This air mattress, you unzip this thing, right? Unzip it. The flaps come out. There's like railings on each side. And so when you plug it in, air starts flowing through. And not only does it fill up the air mattress, but it slides back on its own. Slides back on its own. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, man, this is great. But then I see the feather bed come out. And my mother-in-law puts the feather bed on there, the high thread count sheets. She gives us fluffy pillows. It really is five-star sleeping arrangements. I'm like, this is amazing. So they take care of us. And not only is it pleasant, but it's personal. You know, the best hosts, they make it personal. So we have like monogram pillows and towels with our initials on there, right? Like the right frames are in the right places with us. I don't know if they keep it there the whole time or they just switch them out when we get there, right? I'm talking about we come over, there's gifts for the whole family waiting on us on the bed. Gifts. Here, we're so happy that you're here. I was thinking about you. I got you this, I got you that. I'm like, you know, my gifts have gotten less and less the more kids I have. And, you know, my wife is better with age, so they love her even more. So, you know, they just get me a few things. But I'm happy because my girls are happy. But, you know, Mom, I love the way you think about me. You know, I'm grateful. So we get gifts. We go to the refrigerator. Open the refrigerator. It's our favorite food, our favorite drinks. Yes. Yeah, this was the last time we went. That trip, we went to Exponential, the conference in Orlando. Me, Marcos, Jazz, and Mike went over to the house. It's the best of both worlds. My dad is white. He's American. He's from West Virginia, grew up in Northeast Pennsylvania. My mom is very Puerto Rican. They were here last week. And so we got the best of both worlds. We get Spanish rice and good old steaks. He had a whole thing of steaks just waiting on us. I'm talking about T-bone steaks just waiting on us, right? Mr. Walker, my father-in-law, he has our favorite ribs that he makes. And so these ribs take 2 days to make because the night before he's seasoning them. He's getting them ready. I mean, he'll just make sure they're all set. He put them on the grill. I mean, it's amazing. He goes to Sam's and gets the big rack, cuts them up. I mean, it really is amazing. And the coolest thing about it is that if it happens later on our vacation, maybe the last day, we get a chance to take some home. It's a gift that keeps on giving. Now, if you've been to a home where there's a good host, you know how to make them happy. The key is to make sure that when you get in the house, that you acknowledge all these very personal touches that they have gone out of their way to do for you. The changes they've made in their homes. The good hosts, they actually decorate their homes thinking about their guests. So the key, I'm telling you a secret, when you go to somebody's home, oh, is this new? This is amazing. Did you change this? This is beautiful. Oh, how did you make that? That was just incredible. I'm trying to give you a secret. That's how you keep good hosts happy. Right? Why? Because their encouragement as they're doing all this is coming from the excitement and the encouragement that their guests will feel when they see it. So when their guests see these touches, they want to experience their reaction. They're so excited about how they've been working hard, how they've been serving, because they just want their guests to be happy. So good hosts, they feel a sense of good pride about their home. And I love that because that's the type of servants that they are. So my parents are amazing. I'm talking about five-star for free gifts, meals. My mom even puts out my favorite soap. For years, she's like, Poppy, I got you that soap you like, Poppy. Ultimately, it makes the host so happy just to see their loved ones happy. But what makes these five-star resorts better in a four-star hotel for $100. Yes, it's free. But also the people we get to spend time with. And that's really is the most important thing, right? It's the people you get to spend time with, the people you get to make memories with, you get to laugh with. It's who you get to hug when they open the door, right? The excitement that happens when you haven't seen your family in a while, right? The people that you get to cuddle next to and watch a movie together, right? Or give high fives as you're watching the game together. That's what it's all about. And so the value of the place is multiplied not only by the pleasant and personalized touches, but also by the people we get to enjoy. Let me say that again, church. I don't know if you got that one. The value of the place is multiplied not only by the pleasant and personalized touches, but by the people we get to enjoy. And I believe this is what Jesus is trying to communicate in John chapter 14. Let's go ahead and turn there. In John chapter 14, he introduces himself to his disciples. He doesn't have this in the Bible, but I just made this up. It's a little creative freedom that I get. It's a new introduction. He introduces himself to the disciples as the host with the most. The host with the most. In John 14 and verse 1, he says this: "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." And he goes on to say, "I am the way." They were like, "Well, what's the way? We don't even know where you're going. How do we know the way?" He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And so this is at a time in the life of Jesus, in the story of Jesus, where Jesus had just got done washing their feet. This is after they enjoyed a meal together, the Last Supper, right? After he tells them that he will be betrayed, that death is on the horizon, right? And then he gives them hope about the place that awaits. He gives them hope about the place that awaits. He says, it's going to get bad, and then it's going to get worse, but then ultimately it gets better. Why? Because I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to get a place ready for you. He's assuring them that no matter what happens in this life, when they come to his house, his dwelling place, they're going to be all right. They're going to be scraped. He got them. He said, "Listen, it's going. No matter what happens, I got you. I'm going to go, and I'm going to make sure that everything's going to be taken care of." He is the host with the most. You see, his dwelling place has room for all of them and all of us. And so his plan was to go back and get that place ready for them and for who? Yes, for us. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? The host with the most preparing a place for you. The host with the most resources, with the most love, that knows you the most, with the most compassion. Can you imagine that host preparing a place for us? Can you imagine how pleasant it will be? How he's going to go out of his way to make sure we're able to rest. Because that's one of the characteristics of heaven, the entering the great rest. Can you imagine the personalized touches? How the host with the most will walk us around this place and show us our favorite decor. I know Chip and Joanna Gaines, you know, some of y'all like, you know, we like them. You know, but some of the brothers, we want that favorite Michael Jordan poster, you know what I mean? That Muhammad Ali poster. Maybe that new edition poster, you know? Like, can you imagine? Can you imagine walking in and it's all signed? I mean, they may be there just waiting on you, singing you into your room, Jordan. Can you imagine the pictures of our loved ones, of the good times, the best times? Even though our iPhone may have messed up, it wasn't in the cloud no more. It's in the clouds. Then he walks us to the kitchen and he opens up the refrigerator and shows us a fridge full of our favorite food and drinks, all the ketchup you want, Keegan. We walk out back and there's a bench overlooking a pond with trees in the background, birds flying in the air. There's a beautiful garden there. And then you smell it. It smells like barbecue. There's it smells like barbecue. You look over, it's the grill, man. The grill is going, Jesus. All of a sudden you look over, he got his apron on. It says most with the host with the most. He says, let me go check on your steaks, on your ribs. Let me go check on your chicken. I want to make sure your steak is prepared just the way you want it. Medium plus. Come on, Dr. Jackson. But I got to be honest. There is a debate about that I'm having with the brothers continually about whether or not there will be meat in heaven. Whether or not we'll be able to eat meat in heaven. And so, you know, they say that, you know, Adam and Eve were vegetarians and they just ate fruit and, you know, that kind of stuff. That animals will be our friends, so we wouldn't want to kill them, you know. They're our friends now, and we still kill them to eat. It's like, the farmers, they raise them little calves, and they name them, and then when it's time to eat, they eat, and everybody's happy. But I'm not going to let my own opinion persuade you. There is a scripture that I found. Isaiah 25, verse 6. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich foods for all people. Can I get an amen? A banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. Ooh, Jesus. And Jesus says he will not drink of the fruit of the vine until he gets up to heaven. And so he may be pouring it out with us. So we're just gonna have to disagree about that one and let our minds dream about the possibilities. Now, one thing Mike said was that the fruit will be so good that the fruit will taste like steak. I understand. Whatever it takes, as long as I can get on the grill and I'm all right with that. But even more amazing than the place or the pleasant and personal touches is the person who will be there, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine looking in the face of Jesus? Can you imagine the moment where you see Jesus face to face? What will we do? That's what the song says, right? Jump for joy, dance, fall to my knees. Our Lord, our Savior, our brother, Jesus. Man, I can't wait to see his face. He tells us, he says, I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you to be with me because where I am, that's where I want you to be. Isn't that awesome? Jesus says, I'm going to make sure you make it up there. I'm going to make sure that travel, the trip, nothing gets lost in translation. I'm going to come back. You know what they say? If you want something done, you got to do it yourself. Jesus says, I'm going to do this myself. There's too much at stake. I love you too much. I'm going to come back and get you so we can go to the place I prepared for you together. Because I believe he wants to take us to our room, open that house up, and say, look, as all good hosts do. But what if this home dwelling place is what the scripture really is referring to, this home, this dwelling place? What if it's not only a home or a room, but what if it's a city with many homes and many rooms? What would the city look like whose architect and builder is God himself? Now, we see some amazing cities on this earth, right? Can you just imagine? You know, you really can't imagine. You know, I tried to look it up on Google, this scripture that I'm about to read in Revelations 21 about the new city. And I try to hit images, and you get these graphic designs that are really cheesy. Because it's so amazing that I don't even think we've gotten to the place yet where we can actually, like, the artists, like, our minds aren't even there yet to actually design it. So any artists in the house, listen to this description. I need you to do better than what I found on Google when I searched it, okay? So I just settled for Dubai. That looks pretty amazing, right? Looks kind of like the city. You know, the sun is shining in. It's like, okay, God is, you know, this work, you know, construction in the background, you know, so, you know, that this may be something like what the city of God may look like. Revelation 21 in verse 9, Jazz read through verse 8 a couple of weeks ago. We're going to read this whole passage, so bear with me. But I think it's so important to hear this description of this new city, right? It says, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain, great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. The angel measured the wall using human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. Pure, clear gold. The foundations of the city walls were decorated. Were decorated with every kind of precious stone. And it goes on to say the 12 different stones, jasper, ruby, onyx, just the finest stones that this world has to offer. In verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. So the gates are actually pearls. Each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor to it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. But there's more. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. And the church said, heaven has a capital city. It's called the New Jerusalem. And it has literal measurements. 12,000 stadia is about 1,400 miles wide. It's 1,400 miles long and 1,400 miles tall. Earth's atmosphere is only about 6 to 7 miles high, which means that the heavenly city will stretch far into what we now call space, right? There will be 12 entrances into the capital city, which are gates that are each made of a single giant pearl that stretch a mile high each. The pearl, which is the most valuable precious stone, is formed, as we know, through the oyster's pain, right? And so this may symbolize the pain of Christ that allows us to enter the city of God, or it may also symbolize the eternal beauty that can result from our temporary suffering here in this life. The walls of heaven's capital city will be 200 feet thick. The foundation of the capital city will be made of 12 layers, each layer a different precious stone, and it'll be engraved, as we read, with the names of the 12 apostles of Jesus. Think of like a concrete foundation of a house, and so just 12 foundations stacked on each other. These stones, they symbolize incredible wealth and riches of God's splendor. So if you notice, just about everything is measured in intervals of 12, which signify completeness and perfection. Okay? It says the streets will be made of gold. Gold that is so pure, it's like glass. The throne of God will be in the middle of the city, and flowing from God's throne will be a river of the water of life. Remember Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman in John 4, I have water that you have never thirst again. And really for the people reading this, especially those in the Middle East where there was a lot of desert terrain, just imagine the never-ending flow of crystal clear water. Not just the brand crystal, not the Fiji water, but the actual crystal clear water from God himself flowing from the throne of God. And we know that water is source of life. Next to the river will be the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit each month. So for each month, you have a different fruit, and we will live forever by eating that fruit. So Randy Alcorn talks about how the tree of life, it began in Eden. It's now in the intermediate heaven. It will be relocated to the new city on the new earth. In Eden, it was the source of ongoing physical life. The presence of this tree suggests a supernatural provision of life through people eating their Creator's provision. So in other words, we'll draw our strength and our vitality from this tree, and its life-sustaining properties will help people maintain life and energy. Maybe not once for all, like we just eat it once and we're good forever, but maybe it'll be sustaining us consistently throughout eternity, renewing us as we depend on God and draw from his provision. Because really that's how God wants us to do now, right? To depend on him and be sustained by him. If you abide in me, you can do all things. And it says that Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing, right? If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So what does this mean? Let's look at this picture here. This picture is to scale. It's a 2 by 2 inch box. So when you talk about how big the city will be, this is the capital city. It's detailed to scale. So this is a model that's to scale. I found a blogger that did all this math, right? And so if this city, so you can see that the 1,200 miles is what we said. So from the eastern seaboard to the Midwest. That's about how big the one city is, right? If the city had floors on it that were 30 feet tall each, so 30 feet tall each, there would be 26,400 floors. Each floor would be 1,500 square miles, or 627,264,000,000 square feet. If each person was given one square acre to live in for their homes, the capital city by itself would fit 4,320,000 people per floor, for a total capacity of 1,140,480,000,000 people. That's over a trillion people that would fit in the capital city by itself. Boiled down to our numbers, he said that is over 165 times the population of the earth. There'd be room for everybody who wants to become a Christian. There's room for everybody. Jesus says, we got room for everybody. There is room at the end. Amen. And yet, this scripture says that nothing impure will ever enter it. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. I don't know about you, but that takes me out of contention. For all of us, you know what that means? This is a great city. But if you try to get in, you get a little key card and you try to get in, it's going to say access denied. I don't know about you, but I've done some shameful things in my life. I've done some impure things in my life, some deceitful things in my life. And I know all of us have too, because the Bible says everybody has fallen short. Everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us, right? I mean, this week we struggle. This week we know we are into some shameful things, right? This week, there may be some impure things, right? That we did, some deceitful things that we've done. Deceitful, Jesus is so amazing because he doesn't leave any room for any type of white lies. So he doesn't say lies, although the Bible says that all men are liars, right? He says deceit. So that's not telling quite all the truth, the whole truth. So that's when we bend the truth a little bit to make it sound a little better, to make us sound better or make us sound worse, right? So we've all deceived, right? Some of us are living lives of deceit right now. Some of us are living lives of deceit in our marriages, in our relationships, right? Some of us are living lies, right? We're one way with a certain group of people, but when we go home to our family, we put on another front, right? Right? We keep our work friends, let them know what they're supposed to know. But then our church friends, let them know what they're supposed to know, right? So it's just life. And let's not even talk about the temptations we feel that we may not have even given into. The opportunities there are to sin. The Bible says that we invent ways to do evil. Access denied. And yet, God provides a way to be pure again, to be without shame or deceit. And the only way to be pure is to be washed by the pure blood of the Lamb, of Jesus Christ, in the waters of baptism. Jesus was the only person who walked on this earth and did not sin, and so his blood was pure enough to purify our impurities and grant us access to our new home in the city. Have you been washed clean by the blood of Jesus in the waters of baptism? Do you want your name written in the book of life? Do you want the keys to your eternal home in the city? Helene does. Helene's getting baptized today. Helene is a second year medical student. Learn a little bit about her story. She came out to church about a year ago because her friend Kendra came out to medical day last year. She came out to serve, to help out. She told Helene about the church. Said, I love this church. You should come with me. So Helene started coming out with her. So they had, it's cool because they had, the sisters had set up a personal Bible study with Kendra. And what personal Bible studies are for us as a church is an opportunity for you to grow in your faith. And so we meet you where you are, but we don't want to leave you there. Neither does God. And so we want to help you get to where God wants you to be spiritually. And the way we go about that is we do personal Bible studies to give every single person a chance to grow in their faith, to build a foundation, to understand the basics about Christianity, and to be able to make a decision as to where they stand spiritually. And so it could be that they are saved and they're good, and man, this is just helping them get deeper conviction and helping them know more about what we believe as a church. They may find out that, man, I need to repent. I need healing. I need to be forgiven. I need to be baptized, right? And so that's the process. And so when we talk about Bible studies or personal Bible study, or we'd love to study the Bible with you, that's what we mean. We want to take time out of our lives to serve you, to be great hosts here in this church, to make sure that nobody slips through the cracks. Because we do people a great disservice where when we assume they're either saved or they're not saved. We shouldn't judge that without knowing people. That's why it takes conversations, getting to know each other, to see, okay, and then go looking at our lives compared to the Bible to see where we stand, right? And so the sisters asked Kendra to study the Bible, and Kendra said, yes, I want to grow in my relationship with God. She told Helene about it, and Helene said, I want to do that too. So she came to the Bible study. And then she stopped studying the Bible with the sisters. After that first study, medical school was getting tough. The second year is the toughest year for med students. And so, you know, medical school, it comes with a very demanding schedule and workload. And she was trying to juggle it all. She got busy, and she was trying to do great with this opportunity. Now, the cool thing is that a few weeks ago, another medical student started studying the Bible. She told Helene about it, and Helene said, I want to be in your study. So she joined that study along with another med student. And so the sisters studied with them all three of them, and had a great time studying. But something clicked for her. She decided that after the study, she's like, man, I really want to go after my relationship with God with everything that I have, and to seek God with all of my heart. And so she started prioritizing these Bible studies that were helping her grow even above school. So what she would do is they study all day long. It's like a full-time job. And so she would cut her study time short at the school, and the sisters would go to the school and study with her during her school study break. She would study the Bible. So inspiring. The next week after that, it was a test block. So it was a test week for the students, very important test week. And she decided to prioritize studying the Bible. And so she scheduled a Bible study after one test and before another one that she would have the next day. So in between tests, she said, I'm going to prioritize my relationship with God. And with that type of focus, that type of zeal, that the way she's seeking God with all her heart, God came through. And God has healed her. God is working on her. God is today going to grant her forgiveness. And today her name will be written in the book of life. No longer does her impurity, shame, and deceit disqualify her from the home that Christ is preparing for her in a new city. But how many more Helene's out there are out there right now? Just waiting on an invitation to get to know God deeper. How many more Helene's are out there right now waiting on an invitation to Easter Sunday next week? Next Sunday is Easter Sunday, the Sunday where we will have the highest attendance. Churches will be filled up across the country, no matter if people go to church regularly or not. And really, we need to use that time to help as many people as possible get a chance to hear God's word. How many Helenes are out there waiting for you to initiate with them? How many Helenes are out there at your job right now who are going through challenges in their lives? How many Helenes are at your schools, on your campuses right now? Just asking God and praying for somebody to help them. Crying out to God. Fighting just to have hope. How many Helenes in our families right now? How many Helenes in our neighborhoods right now? right? We may see them pull into their driveways or into the parking lot and go into their homes and look like everything's okay. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Let's show that interest this week. Let's go out of our way to make sure that no man is left behind. No woman is left behind. That as many people as possible get a chance to hear the story of Jesus dying for their sins and being resurrected to new life and giving them hope that they too can be resurrected. Not just today, but also on the last day. Let's go nuts inviting people out. Let's go crazy. Let's not hold back. If you have flyers, get rid of them. You have a digital flyer where I put them on all the group meetings. You just have that. Send out text messages. Send out in the group chats. Let your friends know that you would like them to share it for you. Yeah, how far will we go just to get as many people to be able to hear the gospel as possible? The Bible says that we should make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We don't know who will show up, who will respond. We don't know how God will move in their hearts. I see people become Christians and stay Christians that I would never guess could ever make it to heaven. Ever make it. I mean, you look at the stories in the Bible and the story of Saul and the way he became Paul, and he's out there persecuting Christians. Nobody thought he would make it. We don't know. That's not up to us. All we can do is what's up to us. Pass out that invite. Send that text message. Just invite. Post it on Facebook, on your social media page. You never know who is watching. Let God take care of the rest. Let God take care of the rest. Let's just do our part. But it's going to mean we got to take time out of our busy schedule this week for somebody else. That means that we have to take time out from all the work, all the hobbies, all the cooking, all the cleaning, all of it. I know we're busy. We're all busy. We got to make time this week, prioritize, and pray. Just pray that man, God, I just want somebody to come with me. So let's sow those seeds, water those seeds, and let's see how God will make them grow. You know, in one month, in 30 days after Easter, we baptized like 25 people. So I don't know what God will do this year. I know already that God is responding, answering our prayers. We fasted as a church. I don't think it's a coincidence that God is moving the way he is in people's lives and in people's hearts. And we're seeing baptisms just about every week. I think 12 weeks, 11 baptisms. You know, my goal is to see daily baptisms. That's what Acts 2 says. Hey, every day people were becoming Christians and being saved, right? So let's continue what we're doing. God is blessing it. Stay pure. Let's stay righteous. Let's stay on the right path. You know, this is a time in our service where we take communion. We take time to think about Jesus. And I want us just to meditate. Think about, imagine. I can only imagine what our heavenly home will be like. The pleasant and personalized touches, and most importantly, the person who will be with us, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, we are humbled by you, who you are, your power and your glory, your love, your patience with us. We know, Father, that we do not deserve it. Father, we know that we are broken, that we have sin, that we have fear and hurts. God, we give those to you right now, Lord. And we ask that you will heal us, God, that you will rescue us, that you will forgive us, that you will allow us to finish the race, God. We thank you for Jesus who gives us the opportunity to live a new life here on earth, to enjoy a new home that he's preparing for us in the new city. We give him all the glory and the praise, and we thank him for the sacrifice that he made for us. God, I pray that you open up our minds and our hearts as we dream and imagine and build deep conviction about what time, eternity with you will be like. And there will be nothing better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.